We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Prize Picks. $100 match on your first deposit with the promo code Welcome to Light Years. Andy, we got a special guest today.
My guy.
I'm trying to think of the correct title. You're no longer the foremost. You're like the what's a title for someone?
Emeritus.
Emeritus. There we go. Yeah. There we go. Words are definitely more your specialty than ours. So, the emeritus of all things Warriors in the Steph Curry, Joe Lacob era. From the House of Strauss. Ethan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I want to give a shout out to my eye doctor, Ted, who told me not to mention him. But I'm sorry, Ted. Everybody can become content, especially because he loves talking Warriors when he sees me. I could see there's a pep in his step. He smiled. And I told him I would be on this podcast.
How screwed they are?
Yeah, of course. This is why I feel like he doesn't want me to bring it up. I fear that he's got some terrible boss who he doesn't want. He just doesn't want anybody knowing that during the eye exam, he's asking about Klay Thompson's contract and how much money that he's going to ask for and everything else. But I feel guilty sometimes, guys, because people will ask for my takes and I feel like I'm not earning my takes. Back in the day, I would bleed for them and show up to things. And now, I'm just a guy on the couch, man. I'm just like everybody else. I don't have any special insight.
Nobody goes to games anymore.
Yeah.
I think you'll be all right. I don't think anyone's providing special insight from the locker room anymore. So, you know,
we were texting about it before we did this, and God, that was a fucking game. Nuggets Lakers last night. Like, yeah. One of the better playoff games I've seen in a few years. Shout out to your article. You are correct. Prison ball is objectively a better version of basketball. Whatever Adam Silver did to fix the officiating, good. Kudos. We like it. But I'm also watching it through the lens of the Warriors. I'm watching Denver. I'm like, what the hell can they do to get back on this level anytime soon?
No, that's not how I see it. I see it as you just try to make whatever you're approaching manageable. You know, you try to make your goals simple and then something good might happen afterwards. And my general take on the Warriors, because in the aftermath of them getting eliminated, there's always this blow it up. It's all over. And to a certain extent it is, but it isn't. It's almost more complicated where kind of over. People go, the dynasty is over. I go, well, we kind of thought that was the case. And then they won it in 2022. So I don't know how long the reign of the dynasty lasts and if it can even overlap with whatever Denver is doing. So I think people are talking about this core and their validity as a possible contender. And to that, I would say this. Yes, they are not close to being Denver, but weirdly, they're very close to being the second best team in the Western Conference. So I feel as though the focus should be what gets you to that slot? What gets you to some of those Spurs teams that weren't necessarily the best, but they hung around and some weird stuff happened and boom, they're either in the finals or they've got a shot at it. That should be their mandate. That should be their focus. And the good news, the optimism for Warriors fans is, can you really make the case that they're so far from that?
Isn't that what happened in 2022?
Yeah. Like, that's effectively right? What happened in 2022. So if you make a few moves, you could steal one. I mean, the obvious one, as I discussed at my eye exam, as I am wont to do, I think you got to look into trading Kuminga. You got to look into trading Kuminga.
Right off the top of the show, Ethan. Right off the top of the show.
Let's go, man. I'm not accountable to anything. If anybody has any problem with my takes, I'm sorry. I'm not putting the kind of effort I used to put into these things. But
I agree. What's the take? I mean, that's the take.
Give me your case. Give me the case for trading him. Because, like, all right, we're looking at the roster. We'll talk about Clay later. Wiggins, they're going to try to trade and do whatever with, no matter what. And then you get just like an army of young guys of differing intrigue level. So what's your case for Kuminga?
Well, let's start with the simple again. What can you generally get more for? A guy nobody wants or a guy some teams want? I would argue it's the latter. So you might not want to trade your young talent, but Kuminga is somebody that I know teams have coveted. I know the Raptors were wild about him when he came out of that draft. I'm not sure that there's anybody in particular you want from the Raptors right now. But look, we're just trying to keep it as simple as possible. What is the main need for the Warriors? They need some sort of scorer slash playmaker to take the burden off of Steph. He's wearing down. He's getting ragged. It's all very hypothetical right now. And it's really hard with the second apron and the salary matching and the rules. I don't even know if it's feasible to get a DeRozan, if that was even possible. I don't even know if it's feasible to get a DeJounte Murray, if that's even possible. But somebody else to take burden off of Steph. And I would have to think that Kuminga would be the guy to do it with. And the case for trading Kuminga is that he is very talented, but he has never been a seamless fit. And when he was gone, they did click in a way that was, I don't know, completely acknowledged outside of what you guys would talk about. So that just makes the most sense to me. You are not good enough. Right now, you are not good enough to be that second best Western Conference team. You don't need to do much to get there. I don't think Kuminga's development is going to get you there. No matter how much Steve Kerr is trying to paint the optimistic picture as a good team soldier to inflate trade value when he's talking to our guy, Tim Kawakami. So I would have to think that that's almost the only option. That was my interpretation. I just feel like that's the only option other than standing pat and just hoping the development of him and Pods unlock something. Like those are the two routes right there, the two roads.
So yeah, he was on the TK show today. We're recording this on a Tuesday, but he also kind of reiterated these points in an article that The Athletic published a couple days ago, where he basically was talking about how, like, Kuminga can't really play the three because he's not really a shooter or a playmaker. But when he plays the four, we suck on defense. So I don't know what position he is. I guess my only question is, and I say this to you because you covered the team on the ground.
I just want to do one interjection interruption.
Yeah.
Because when you said that, I do feel like I've got an issue with Kuminga. I don't want it to bite me in the ass. I don't want him to become this flourishing superstar and this gets clipped and used against me. But
it'll happen.
He's kind of a fake good defense guy. He looks like he should just be dominating on defense. And so people think of him as a defensive asset, but it just doesn't tend to go that way. And that's the other reason. I just feel like he's somebody who would tend to be overvalued based on the idea of what he could do versus what he actually does. And what they need right now is actually does. So you were saying, Sam.
Yeah. I feel like you're uniquely qualified to answer this, or as much so as anyone. You obviously covered the team for a decade, close enough to anyway, wrote a book about it, about, you know, kind of the edges of it when KD left and everything. I don't know how much I buy their spin about how they don't want to trade him. Joe Lacob sees him as the future and all the stuff that's been put out there over the last year, because to me, it sounds like they're basically just trying to inflate his trade value and kind of like, we're willing to give him up if you give us something good. And so the whole thing kind of, I can't tell on that front. On the other hand, you bring up Toronto really liked him back in the day. Toronto had Pascal Siakam, who might fit the role of what you're talking about. And the Warriors clearly did not make that move at the deadline, which would point to either Toronto does not value Kuminga or the Warriors got way too excited over Kuminga's 20-point per game streak during that spell. All this is to say, we can talk about they need to move Kuminga to get that, like, you know, ready-made, he's an all-star now caliber player, but I'm trying to figure out if they actually see it that way.
I mean, I think Joe loves him. I think Joe loves physical prototype players. He loved Harrison Barnes, so I don't doubt it. And in a weird way, it's almost like maybe Joe's asset is his crazy belief in certain players almost helps their value. He believes so much, he manifests it, he speaks it into existence. And perhaps we'll see that with Kuminga, where he's so into the whole Kuminga thing that maybe it helps the idea that Kuminga is a real asset, and then it translates to teams wanting him more. It's hard to know what the market is. I feel like in many ways, the Kuminga conversation is a little bit cross sports right now. It's a little similar to the Brandon Ayuk conversation, where it's this, do they really love him? Do they really want him back? Or do they just want to make us think that they do to try to get some bait, to try to get the trade that they really want for their next phase of this operation? I think Joe loves
Niners, Ayuk's better, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ayuk's an all pro.
Yeah.
But nobody, you know, the funny thing is it feels like the league treats Ayuk like he's Kuminga. I mean, have you heard? I don't want to detour into football too much, but I don't see any fan base clamoring for Ayuk. God, we need a trade for Ayuk. We need this guy. This is the guy who's been keeping Purdy good.
No, but hold on. But maybe NBA, actually, because Sam brings this up, Ethan, how do other teams feel about Kuminga? Like, are there actually other teams? Are there? Because maybe there
aren't. That's the big mystery. You know, what do they think of him? Do they see the flaws we see, or do they see a guy who just looks like a superstar and they think they can make him a superstar
and pay him?
And pay him. I don't know. I mean, it's going to come down to probably a few teams that really love him, similar to Ayuk. You hope the Steelers or the Jaguars really love Ayuk, and you hope that you'll have a Raptors here or another team there that actually has a matching salary for a playmaker. I don't, by the way, think they need an all-star playmaker to pair with Steph. They just need somebody other than Pods who's emerging. They just need it not to be what it is now.
We argued about this, by the way. Hold on. We argued about this. Who do you Sam took the other side. Who do you think is more valuable to other teams right now, Kuminga or Pajemski?
I mean, to other teams, they would think Kuminga. But as far as knows how to play basketball and seamlessly fits into the Warriors, it's Pajemski.
Why he plays 30 minutes game. But if you're the Warriors, and that's the thing, right? If you're the Warriors and trying to get better, and I trade either one. I don't care. I trade both. But the guy that's more valuable to other teams, let's say the New Orleans Pelicans come to you, who are they asking for? They asking for Pajemski or they asking for Kuminga? I don't know.
I mean, they're a particular.
They're asking for both, probably.
Hey, go. I'm flying to the airport. I live right next to SFO.
I mean, I don't want to do a deal with them. I feel like Griff tries to squeeze and extract every morsel of value. I want to be with more old school. I want you to be a team like the Timberwolves, or I don't even know who owns you. That's what I want. I want to take advantage of the chaos.
Currently in litigation. Mediation. Sorry. Mediation. There we go.
That's a great question. I mean, how attached is Glenn Taylor to any particular trade right now? When whether or not he even runs the team is in dispute. It's a very good question.
They're about to win, and they're about to be in the second round. Maybe.
I know. It's
don't count my sons out. Don't count them.
Right.
Yeah, your KD sons. I think we're using a lot of words to say a very simple thing, which is that I think we all believe that Kuminga's perceived value exceeds his actual value to the Warriors.
Yeah.
And in a way, he's the opposite of Ayuk, because with Ayuk, I believe the wisdom is that he is more valuable to the Niners than he would be to another team. With Kuminga, it seems like it's the inverse. It seems like he's actually less valuable to the Warriors than he would be hypothetically valuable to somebody else.
Which is insane because both teams are trying to win a championship. It's not like the Niners and Warriors are rebuilding. Both teams, yeah. Which I guess just goes back to the point, like Ayuk's actually good. Like he's actually good and impactful to the team, and Brock Purdy needs him versus Kuminga. It's like, if you told me that's like, does Steph need Kuminga? Like, yeah, he needs Kuminga 20 times better.
Let's keep going with the analogies. Kuminga's DK Metcalf. You know, it seems.
I wish he's also good.
Yeah. I wish, Ethan. You might be going down the. Sam, help me out here. What's a good Kuminga comp as a receiver?
Feel like I did a good job with DK, but DK's let me see.
Good, he's so good.
Is he? I mean, is he, or is it the idea he's of good. Him is really good?
He's good.
Let's pull up some. You may not. I wouldn't anticipate.
He may not be great, but he is good. He has been an all pro. I'm not even sure Kuminga is a starter on the Warriors next year. Like, I'm trying to think of like a slot receiver people think could be a number one.
DK 1,100 yards with a 55% catch percentage. I mean, maybe this is our hope for Kuminga getting traded to a team that overvalues him. I feel like we're doing that with DK. We're going, this guy looks like a superhero.
I mean, DK, I mean, he made
the Pro Bowl somehow with those numbers, I believe. But yeah, that doesn't, I mean, look, the analytics nerds will have to tell me if DK Metcalf is good or not. I don't actually watch every Seahawks game on the All-22, if I'm being totally honest about it. That was as good as I could do, was DK Metcalf or Kuminga. Yeah. Try to do better.
There's a wow.
I still say Pajemski has more trade value than Kuminga. Just going to put that out there. And I don't want to trade him. No, we're protecting pods under all circumstances.
You can't trade him. He's our Cooper Kupp. We can't let him go. No.
I was thinking more Adam Thielen, but you know.
That was actually accurate. I was just going with the white guy. It was amazing as opposed to merely acceptable.
Great.
He's entering the last year of his rookie deal. You know he's going to want a big number. He hasn't really shown he's worth a big number yet. He doesn't do anything exceptionally well except for score and transition, which is not traditionally something you pay the big number for. And I'm just like not convinced that there's this huge market. Like they might have missed their window to shop him at max value.
When he was hot, look up these stats. Trade deadline, when he was
or maybe you know what has killed them in the market when it comes to Kuminga? The thing that is totally undermined Kuminga's trade value. ESPN firing Jeff Van Gundy. That's huge. Have you seen him? Have you heard him on these games whenever Kuminga's in? That guy loves Kuminga. He makes all sorts of unsavory noises whenever Kuminga did anything. And he would just start just growling, Kuminga. And that was the best advertisement for the lead announcer on the lead broadcast to be touting Kuminga as a future superstar. But now he's gone, and you don't have that kind of hype. There's nobody really singing the praises. What are you going to do?
I think a lot of old Warriors fans, too. Like, I think, like, it's like the center stuff, right? Like, the Warriors, ironically, which the Warriors actually need. But, like, a lot of old Warriors fans were like, oh, Wiseman makes sense because he's big. And the Warriors have never had a big, ever.
Okay. Like, let's tell that. Now we're going too far. Now we're being too mean.
Oh, no. I'm just saying because the Warriors have never had a super athletic guy, ever. AD, no. Andre, by the time Andre got to the Warriors, he wasn't really like
not that type of player.
Right. Yeah. He just wasn't that type of player. Livingston tore his leg up. Steph, Clay, Draymond, obviously those guys were never super athletic. So it's like, it just kind of feels like that where it's like, look, there's this big, big wing guy, you know, it's kind of like Wiggins from 2022. Then it turns out Wiggins isn't good anymore, but it turns out that Kuminga doesn't do the things that Wiggins was good at. And so it's like just this whole, I don't know. It's things that the Warriors don't have. And then you watch Pajemski, who I was wrong on. But it turns out just because he knows how to play basketball, he's just the perfect fit for the team. And I think it goes back to Ethan's first point. It's like, dude, if it doesn't – it just doesn't work for this team. If it doesn't work for this team, I don't know what you're supposed to do. He's tried.
Does it work?
You don't have time.
Does it work for any team? I guess my whole thing is they feel like players from the 1990s when skill level mattered less and it was more about your physical tools. I'm not saying skill level didn't matter then. I'm just saying there were a lot more, what is his best trait? Well, it's his athleticism. It's his athleticism. That's it. You know, that's like, that's all he really has. Whereas like, even to get back to Kerr's points, well, if no one respects Kuminga's shot, what's he really going to do? You know? So,
I mean, Aaron Gordon looked really good the last game last night. Maybe people could talk themselves into Kuminga as an Aaron Gordon type. Now, what's Aaron Gordon's rebound? I mean, some of the problem with Kuminga is just you want more out of somebody blessed with that kind of athleticism. You would think that per 36 minutes, 6.6 rebounds per game, you would just think that there would be more, and that you wouldn't be getting 0.7 blocks per 36. I know the rates of it with the pace adjusted, whatever is more accurate, but this is the first thing I scrolled to. But you could talk yourself into it. You could talk yourself into it. We're not saying some of the good things about him. He scores very efficiently. He just bludgeons you around the rim.
Yes, to the rim.
And speaking of Aaron Gordon, he's a guy where if he was traded to the Nuggets, you would go, oh man, he's gonna look incredible. He's gonna be amazing. So there are situations, or at least one off the top of my head, with the best team in the league where he would theoretically flourish.
Yeah, and I think that kind of speaks more to what we're saying, which is he can have a long, fruitful, positive career, but it's probably not going to be as the savior of a franchise after Steph Curry.
No, so, they've got a two years right now. Again, the theme of this podcast, simple.
Years. Wow.
2 years, two more years of Kerr. It looks like, right?
Thank goodness. I'm kidding.
And then theoretically two more years of Steph in this situation. Everything is about maximizing those 2 years. That's got to be the focus. Now, if you think Kuminga in those 2 years is going to make the leap to being your franchise savior, then yeah, you're going to roll with Kuminga. I don't think that's going to happen. So
Zach LaVine, come on down, baby.
I'll listen to anything. I'm willing to be talked into anything.
Brandon Ingram, come on down. Karl-Anthony Towns, come on down.
Towns isn't what they need. They need a perimeter guy you can handle. That's what they need primarily. And
you don't think if they had a, cause I think I agree with you, all things perfect, I'd rather add like a star caliber, small forward who can, you know, handle the ball and run some offense, but you don't think adding a big man who could actually score the ball a little bit would help them, and not just score the ball in Towns' case, but like legitimately shoot the ball.
Might average 30.
I mean, anything. Look, I'm not completely rejecting that scenario, because anything that could conceivably get them to leap into that second best team in the Western Conference, hang the banner, you got to take a look at it. It's just not, to me, the main thing that they need. It's more of a Hail Mary to me. But look, I think you get excited about it. It injects some variance into the situation. I'm intrigued by them having Towns at center, working with Draymond, pick and roll with Steph. Okay, I'm talked into it. Fine.
That was quick.
Fine.
Do you have a player that you really want to, like, do you have one off the top, or you need a...
Well, Murray, I named Murray. I'm just not sure with the second apron and salary matching.
DeJounte?
How that complete? Yeah. Okay. How that completely
What other
works.
Murrays were you thinking about, Samuel? You think about Keegan Murray? That's the only
guy. I mean, all the Murrays are good. All the Murrays bring something to the table.
Wait, which other Murray? What's the other Murray? Keegan, DeJounte.
Is there a Trey Murray?
Chris Murray. Jamal Murray, obviously.
Jamal Murray is not bad.
There's Flip Murray.
All right. We'll get to more DeJounte, but before we get to
it's Trey Murphy. You've got your Murrays and your Murphys. I should make that distinction.
Trey Murphy might be the best player on the Warriors, not named Steph, right now.
He's fun. He's really, really fun. I mean, I think those names. I'm intrigued by the idea of DeRozan. That is definitely a.
Oh.
Hey, you're going for it. This is not about the future. You do that kind of thing. But that's another one where the salary matching might get a little tricky. You say no? You say no?
Sam had a Kuminga comp, actually, that I loved last week.
I was saying Kuminga's career trajectory reminds me potentially of Rudy Gay or DeMar DeRozan. where the physical tools are amazing and you think you've drafted this two-way tour de force and just never happens. They're just all about scoring. They're just all about scoring. Like, remember Rudy Gay when he came out? Like, people thought he was a superstar coming out of UConn, and he had a very nice long career. Nothing wrong with his career, but you'd have thought, you thought for a long time that was going to develop into being something more than what it was. And similar to Kuminga, when he left the Grizzlies, they didn't exactly get worse. You know, it's kind of a little empty, empty calories over there.
Yeah, but he does it in a different way than Kuminga does it. It's just a more refined playmaker role for him. And he's just a veteran at this point. I believe in the Arnovitz. The Kevin Arnovitz, grown men, grown-ass men win basketball games. So I'm not saying DeRozan would be my number one. Oh, my God, they have to do it. But I'm just throwing names out there because you got to have somebody who can be had. You're not getting Jamal Murray.
True. That's true.
You're not.
Like Danny Jokic.
Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell don't do it for you. Jared Allen doesn't do it for you. They're gonna.
I mean, Giannis. If
Paul George,
we're due for our annual. The only player the Warriors would trade Kuminga for is Giannis.
Embarrassing at this point.
Paul George, they probably couldn't get, but yeah, that's another one where that would be be cool. But
if the Clippers crash and burn, maybe. But you know,
The Mavs
they're looking good. They're looking good.
Like this is
This is the playoffs. I'm triggering our mutual friend, Kirk Henderson, with calling the 2017 Warriors the most clutch team of all time, because that just infuriates people, because that was debated when Waz brought that up on Twitter. And I said, no, I think it was the team that was just impossible, that you just couldn't be guarded. And I would see them in any clutch situation automatically score, because that's not good and touchy feely. And then the second thing is saying, I know you're saying Luka should win MVP, but he is fat and bad at defense.
Light Years Podcast, we are brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or you pick less on two or more player stats. Watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100x your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. You got NBA, you got the NHL playoffs, you got UFC, you got golfing. Entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. If you want to play alongside some of the Prize Picks favorite players like Meek Mill and Sugar Sean O'Malley, you can now find community plays under the promos tab of the app. View entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks world community each week. Prize Picks also offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even. If one of your players get injured for basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss. Download the app today. Use code LIGHTYEARS for a first deposit match up to $100 right there. Use promo code LIGHTYEARS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It is that easy. Light Years Podcast brought to you by Game Time. As y'all know, right off the top, use promo code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off first purchase. I actually, Sam and I had a show last week, and I was trying to play hooky and go to the Giants game because it was literally $28 for two tickets, lower level. Shout out to the San Francisco Giants. We ended up doing the show, but I ended up going the next day. Best ballpark in America, best ballpark in the world. Right now, if you use Game Time, Game Time, the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, and even after an hour, after it starts, it's the place to find last minute seats with zone deals. You pick the section, and Game Time picks the seats. That's what I did for big time savings. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and roll for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code LIGHTYEARS, $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We are brought to you by Unified. Whether you are a world-class athlete or a podcaster like us, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being.
and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, rejuvenation, whether you're here in the Bay or hundreds of locations across the globe. Access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/lightyears. Learn more. Find a center near you. That's UNIFYD healing.com/lightyears. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical service or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE System.
Right. I'm stuck on the idea of what's the best ballpark in the world. I think it has to be the Giants, but I'm going down a rabbit hole now looking at these Japanese ballparks.
It's very clearly Fenway or Wrigley or somewhere that has over 100 years of history. Like
Wrigley doesn't have a waterfront ballpark. I don't care what history it has. The waterfront with the sunset coming down on the back is just, we're talking beautiful. We're not talking the most historic ballpark.
If I go to any place in America to watch a baseball game, I want to go somewhere that has cachet, history behind. I just want to feel it. I want to sit on some terrible fucking seats and feel like, yeah, I'm back in 1908. Let's do it.
I just think it's weird that Japan doesn't have better baseball stadiums. They've got better so many other things aesthetically, and their stadiums, they all look like 1970s. Yeah, but these look like 1970s eyesores. Their best is a Koshien Stadium. I've been to the Mazda Zoom Zoom Stadium in Hiroshima, home of the Hiroshima Tokyo Carp, Toyo Carp, not Tokyo. That's a different place. These stadiums are not that impressive out there in Japan. The kind underrated stadium, part of the issue, I think it's hard to have a truly aesthetically great ballpark if it's completely symmetrical, which was how they did it back in the day. But the best symmetrical stadium, people would say the Dodgers. I would say the Kansas City Royals. The fountain aesthetic.
Been to that one? Wow.
I haven't been to it. I just go based on what I see. Whether it's the Warriors or ballparks, I go based on what I see on TV. I'm not seeing it in person. That's
Royal Stadium. Wow.
Have you been to that one? You seemed like you had a big opinion on the Kansas City Stadium.
Found it fascinating. You've been to the Royal Stadium. You were going to blow my mind that you've been there. I've been to the LA Stadium. It's a piece of shit, but the Royals one.
Dodger Stadium above Oracle as well, by the way. Just much better crowd, much more interesting game. Wow. Makes me feel at home. Kind of feels like an A's game. Lots of yelling and drums. It's my alley. Up my alley.
What A's game?
Relax.
That's what you get for talking about Oracle Park. But yeah, Chavez.
Oracle is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. All I'm saying is, gun to my head, I think those stadiums that have been around forever are always just a little cooler because there's like the history and everything to it, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's
the Giants evoke a deep boredom within me. And I love that.
They do.
I love that ballpark, but it's almost like they've played to the level of the competition in a way where it's kind of my theory on LeBron a little bit, where as great as he is,
if you can land this.
Wow. He is always going to cringe to the level of his greatness. As great as he is, whatever great thing he does, he is going to elevate something annoying in the way he communicates publicly exactly to that level. Right. I feel it's similar where the Giants, as great as they are as a ballpark, are going talent-wise to completely balance it out. The aesthetic wonder of the ballpark will be balanced out by the aesthetic eyesore of the talent that you don't want to watch. That's my theory.
I've got
all life in perfect balance and harmony and rhythm.
Yeah.
So I love Japan. They get it.
It's a long-winded way of saying they're boring as hell.
Yes. But the stadium is beautiful as hell. It's both. It's a long-winded way of saying both.
Yeah, they're going to. I'd rather talk more Niners than Giants. There's no way we spent more airtime talking.
I'd love to talk Niners. Yeah. Love it.
let's go to the, let's go back to this one. Yeah, Sam, that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't want. I don't really want to be this guy, but come on, man, come on, Waz, come on, best crunch team of all time. I didn't see every TV show today opening up about how it's unfair. They got to trade. They can't have Murray and Jokic on the same team. Not fair. Not fair.
That's true.
Yeah. So. I mean, look, I get what people are doing with that, though, because the Nuggets are truly like the 2015-2016 Warriors. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts kind of situation. And that's what's being spoken to right there. That, look, this is a tough situation you're in, but I believe that you guys are going to come together as a team and you're going to execute and you're going to get it done and you're going to make each other better, which is what we want from basketball. People don't really think about the 2017 Warriors that way because they were never nervous they would even lose. They never even had that kind of emotional investment because it all seems so inevitable. And yet, because we watch them closely, we remember when those games were in variance and they were close and KD would always come through. It's kind of counter narrative. He'd always come through in part because he was single covered, which is something that doesn't happen as much elsewhere, but single covered, he's the guy where you can't really cover him one-on-one when he's in his prime. So the Warriors were impossible, completely impossible. And it was when they were out of rhythm too, or where things were going wrong, he would always just do something from mid-range. And so, yeah, that's the greatest team of all time. It's a weird situation. It's the greatest team of all time. It's the greatest clutch team of all time. And yet, arguably, the sum is not greater than the whole of its parts. The parts are just so decadent.
Well, they were for a year. They were for a year. I think
for a year.
In 16-17, they had the expectations of, we expect you to never lose. And then they literally did that in the playoffs. So like, okay, ran through everyone, played perfect. And then to your point, the rest of the time, they kept stretching the boundaries of how much they could play with their food. You know,
yeah.
Could we get away with it for 3.5 quarters? Could we get away with it for 3 quarters and 10 minutes? Could we get away with it 3 quarters and 11 minutes?
I'm just saying, Waz says that. I get what he's saying. I get where he's coming from. But there's 5 minutes left in a game. Now let's go. No, forget that. There's 3 minutes left in a game. 1 point game. Do you trust the 2024 Nuggets or do you trust the 2017 Warriors? I think if we're just being didactic dicks about it,
well, you had the number one and number two best players in the world, or number one or number three, or number two and number three versus the Nuggets, which is the number one, and
you also guy compliments him very well. Yeah,
you also the key differentiator. You had the greatest defensive player of all time, maybe at his defensive peak, and I think that's where the war.
And Clay. So it's like, okay, you
have Iguodala.
And Iguodala. So it's like, you do have KCP, who's amazing, Aaron Gordon, who's amazing, and
the
fifth guy who's missing. And then the Warriors are like, well, we do have the second greatest shooter ever. And then the defender. You know,
I always remember about those teams is like, when it got in those moments, they just went absolute lockdown on defense. And then it was just a matter of time until KD found a shot. You know, like it was just like, you're not going to score. And one of these guys will. Don't worry about which one, you know?
Yeah. No, I underrated that aspect as well, that defensively they would choke the life out of you. And I get it. I get why people wouldn't necessarily remember that as clutch. But yeah, if we're just doing it in a very narrow way of who you're going to trust in that situation, it's going to be the 2017 Warriors. And I should say this, I love the Nuggets. We're in a very nice period of time. We're with the Nuggets right now. We're where the Warriors were in 2015, where it's just all raves. Nobody's that bitter. They haven't beaten enough teams to really inspire any kind of resentment. Yeah. And they're in that really nice sweet spot where it's just all good vibes. Well, and yeah,
I will say, I was thinking about this last night after the game, and people are given them the second championship, and it does remind me of the Warriors in that 73-9 run when they were given the championship. There's a lot more basketball. There's 3.5 more rounds to be played, and the Warriors looked like they were going to win every single round until they just all of a sudden didn't. So that's I'm not saying that the Celtics are going to beat the Nuggets, because I don't know how they would, But
if there's just one team I'm not taking over them in a crunch in a clutch game. Right.
Yeah. It'd be ironic if after all this, the greatest clutch team of all time loses to what might be the funniest clutch team of all time, the Boston Celtics.
Tatum grows up finally in that moment. Yeah.
When people here's something. When people are saying, hey, maybe Jokic is better than Steph, does that do anything to you emotionally? It doesn't to me. It doesn't to me. And I feel like in a way I should have some sort of investment in defending Steph's legacy because I covered it and whatever. But it doesn't really do anything to me emotionally. Is that just because I like Joker so much and they play different positions? I feel like as long as Steph stays in the top 10, that sort of talk doesn't really bother me because I'm just so impressed with Joker right now that it's not something that I feel the need to argue against.
So I think Steph is the greatest offensive player of all time. Like if you want to get best overall, then you factor in some physical stuff and defensive stuff that he could never do. Right.
Yeah.
Jokic is honestly the first player that would make me think about that statement about Steph. I just think he's so, and he's not as explosive as Steph, and he plays a different style, but it's like, I've yet to see him have a bad series per se.
Yeah.
You know, like he just kind of does whatever he wants in general. No, to your point, it doesn't really do anything for me because I don't know. I'm not as invested in those like online who's better arguments that was maybe a decade ago.
Like 6 years, 7, 8 years ago. Yeah. That's why my point about, hey, let's just wait till the second championship though.
Yeah.
Right? They haven't won in the second championship yet. Things change. The Warriors were supposed to win that second championship. And we all were sitting there covering the team every day. So, you know, LeBron might have a couple suspensions left up in him this series. So I don't know.
That's the creeping determinism where looking back, events seem more predetermined than they actually were experienced. And we also do it going forward too, where we think things are just assured and they're not. Everybody was saying, hey, fast forward through this series between the Lakers and the Nuggets. I certainly felt that way. And then boom, second half, it looked like the Lakers actually might make a series of it until they took their 10th loss in a row. I don't fast forward. We do a lot of fast forwarding with the legacy talk. It's hard not to, because you want to talk about something after the big result and you instantly go to historical context. But I get it. Let it play out. I just think Jokic is just so good. And it is true what people are saying. If he does it again in dominant fashion, people are going to be a little uncomfortable about the territory and the conversations he's going to get vaulted into off of that.
I think what to just one thing on Steph, and I'll say this about Kobe, who Steph's better than Kobe all time, but I didn't really give enough credence to Laker fans who would be like, oh, but he did it with multiple different teams. In other words, there was the Shaq three-peat. Then they kind of sucked for a while, and then they built it back up again.
Yeah.
I can't put Jokic ahead of Steph until he wins significantly larger amount, just because seeing the Warriors completely fall apart and build it back up and get that one in 2022. Like, just let's say Jokic gets a three-peat here. Let's say he does. Yeah. That would be that'd be amazing. Let's say it's a three-peat, then he fades off into the sunset. How do you view that historically, right? Like, I view it as like, man, that guy for a period of time was one of the best I'd ever seen, but it was like this short shining star, as opposed to with Steph, you're really talking about a 10-year window, 4 titles, 6 finals appearances, and like all that sort of stuff where it's just a different animal.
I feel like we're always being gaslit that a guy who never had a three-peat with any team is the greatest player of all time. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I thought I might bring this up to Nick Wright. He listed his top 5 dynasties and there was no LeBron in it.
Come on. He didn't try to put LeBron as a dynasty.
Come on, man.
There was no LeBron in those top 5. And I got to say, I'm sure Nick is a very skilled debater, so he could thread a needle as to how the greatest player of all time is somehow not on any of those 5 teams. He could do it, right? I know he could, but I feel like that's a MacGyver situation I would like to see him wriggle out of, because to me, it doesn't line up.
Yeah. If you have to thread a needle to have a debate, your debate is already, if you already have to have a debate, that's pretty rough.
That's my Michael Jordan GOAT thing. I was on a podcast where they wanted to debate it with me, because I think I mentioned it on my site at Dirty Sports. I went over there and I just said, look, guys, I'm not a genius. I feel like to be the LeBron is the greatest of all time guy, you need to be as skilled a rhetorician. Is that how you pronounce that? Jeez. You have to be as skilled as Nick Wright is, but I don't have to be skilled because I'm correct. It could be very easy when you're correct. Yeah. It just gets really easy. You just go, well, wait, he's got more championships and he's got more MVPs. Okay. Well, anyway, I gotta go now. I got a lunch that I got to get to.
Well, that's the one I think where it's that will always be age. I think matters now more than ever, because I think now it's just like, I don't know how many people have actually watched Jordan. Like, honestly, like, dude, I grew up on Kobe, right? So it's like, yeah. So it's like at some point the Jordan stuff just doesn't. He's gonna have to release a doc, and LeBron's gonna have 20 docs when he retires. Like, he'll have
people say that, but like, how many people are arguing? I don't know. Like, nobody is saying Mike Trout is better than Babe Ruth. I mean, just what you did in your historic time, your dominance relative to everybody else, it matters. And I think, I don't know, I don't want to seem like I'm nitpicking LeBron, because I said this on my podcast. Future Warrior LeBron. It's like you're arguing against this amazing career this guy has had. He's still so impressive. But what you're doing is talking about a one in a billion career not being up to a one in a trillion career, which is the Michael Jordan career. And that's just what it is. Okay, you want to get to Clay because Andy has to go soon. I want Niners, man. I mean, I want both, but God,
who's the Clay? Who's the Clay on the what's the closest Clay comp of a guy that might leave because he's just maybe selfish and just maybe wants more money? When the Orlando Magic are gonna give him $100 million and Steph and Dre are just gonna sit here and be like, hey, Clay, come back for a little bit less, and Clay's just like, no, I deserve $100 million. I'm going to not even South Beach. I'm going to Orlando. That's where I'm going.
Going to Disney World.
who's the comp for that? I think that might happen. I think that truly might happen. That's the click.
You know what? You know why it doesn't exist? Because that's not a thing in the NFL. Yeah. That's just not a thing. It's like, You feel that way, Eric Armstead? Yeah. Well, you can feel that way somewhere else.
Yeah. Oh, get out of here.
You're gone.
Enjoy Jacksonville. Oh, you went to Central Florida also.
Yeah,
I don't understand. Dude, I do not understand the Clay conversation. I do not get it. I think part of it is attributable to, frankly, how influential agents are in the reporting on the NBA. I don't mean this as a local criticism. I'm saying the national conversation where people are talking about all this big money he's going to get. I'm going, what did he go in the last two elimination games? What was it, 3 of 29? I mean, he still has value. Don't get me wrong. He had decent numbers, but it's just weird to me that there's going to be any kind of intense negotiation. I feel like the conversation needs to be simple. It needs to be, look, here's the number. 2 years. I know TK said 20 mil, right? That was the Kawakami number, 20 million. Let's just throw that out there.
A year?
No. 10 mil a year for 2 years.
Woo! 20 mil. Now we're speaking my language.
20 million total. And it's, look, we love you, Clay.
Money.
We love you, and we can have a lot of conversations about your role, but we are not going to have a conversation about money. We paid you so much after you were injured. And if we're being totally real about it, did we just get over 40 million in value? Is that what we got? Did we get that? I feel like if you want to be here, then you're here. You made a ton of money from us, and we gave it to you in part because of what you did before, but you don't have kids, you don't have a wife. If you want a penny pinch and do the Orlando Magic route or whatever, you're free to do it. And when you come back, we will give you a wonderful tribute. We will retire your jersey, and it will be love. All bygones be bygones. But we are not getting into a protracted negotiation with you back and forth about your value. It's, if you want to be here, you're here. You know what made the San Antonio Spurs for 2 decades? people don't talk about this enough, but the Stars took pay cuts. So you're either going to take the pay cut or you're not. And that's really just how it has to be. Keep it all simple. That's how I see it anyway.
I think that's what Dunleavy does too. I can't imagine the conversation goes. I mean, I'm sure it's going to vary a little differently, but I think that's what they end up. Because how can they possibly do the
whole? It's just you're not gonna leverage us. Like your leverage is we love you and you're a decent,
but
frankly, backup. Anymore. Yeah. Well, yeah, Bob talked about how hard the conversation would be and all that. I mean, look, he can provide value. He's an NBA player. He is probably a decent backup or role player in the right situation, but this isn't, I don't understand some of the noises that have come out about it and the idea that teams will cash him out if they want to, they can. I mean,
so you're with me. You're taking that as like agent bluster because there's always a chance. But I'm going to need to see it to believe that some team is giving 34, will be 35 before the All-Star break, Klay Thompson, 3 years, $100 million, given what we've seen from him and knowing his leg injuries.
I'm just trying to figure out, okay, so what's the Miami Heat cap situation? They love to do stuff like that. But I know, I don't think they have any sort of room to do anything like that. I think also it's hard to know.
It just wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. Or the Kings, what's their situation? Who knows? You could talk yourself into the idea he can shoot. But again, 3 of 29 in the last two elimination games when it gets hard. And this is a situation where he's more open than he would be on other teams. And I mean, maybe somebody wants to cash him out. But again, it goes back to Tim Duncan took pay cuts. Are you too good to take a pay cut? You're too good to take a pay cut when you got way more than the value you gave the team. If he feels that way, he can feel that way. If he wants to go, he can go. Nobody should be bitter over it. But I'm just saying that this isn't a situation where I feel like the Warriors should be getting leveraged by him. Given the past history,
I wonder what the true number is. So a couple things. I wonder what the true number is that they'll have for him, because I doubt it's 2 for 20. Yeah. But the other thing is too, like, I wonder what Clay's actually feeling when it comes down to it. Like, is he actually that guy? I got a feeling that they end up threading that needle. Talk about thread needles. I imagine they end up doing like a 2 for. Actually, I was thinking 2 for 40, but it just wouldn't shock me.
The reported preseason offer from the Warriors was 2 for 48. So they were willing to give him that before the season started. Do they go down off that number? I mean, he didn't play well enough to justify more than that.
No.
Number. Yeah. But
he certainly did not. I mean,
good,
yeah.
In the second half, tough in the first month, 2 months of the season. So I think just kind of up and down 20. I mean,
all it takes is one team making it a bidding war. Right. Like, to your point. But yeah, I mean, it feels like he, you know, there's probably some, like, you gave Draymond $100 million. Why not me? You gave Wiggins $100 million. Why not me? Like, some of that going on there too. You know, I'm as good as those guys. All this stuff kind of ties to.
But I mean, he's not as good as Draymond. He hasn't been near as good as Draymond.
No, he's not.
Draymond, it gets obscured because Draymond's so frustrating, but not near the value at this point. What's his career earnings? What's Clay's career earnings right now? I know you're not supposed to. Now in the media, you're not supposed to pocket
watch. The deal he got was 5 years, 190, and so he had another 70 before that. It's got to be upward of 270 at this stage. So.
Even if he has 3 wives and 10 kids, I think he'd be fine, Ethan, to your point about wife and get cracked. Really cracked me up when you said that. I don't think that.
No, people don't talk like that. It's just, you're not supposed to do that. 268
million.
268 million career earnings.
I think he's fine. I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, I think he'll, plus Anta. I've just, I think he'll be all right. And by the way, I'm just, to be clear, I'm not saying hate the guy or be mad at the guy if he says the money really matters to me and I'm leaving because it's not enough money. If that's what you choose, that's what you choose. But I just think that it's got to be a stark choice. And this shouldn't be a Bob Myers kind of situation where you're just trying to make the player happy. I think we're past that. They're in a situation right now where I've seen other people say it, and I totally agree with it. They've got to start paying guys for what they're going to do as opposed to paying guys for what they've done.
Yeah. So. Yeah, kind of. It ties to, like, it's going to be an interesting offseason for them in general. Like, they're
– oh, yeah.
They could, in theory, thread the needle, get that wing-caliber playmaker, get the books under control, add some young talent, and be very interesting. Or they could do none of that and give Clay $100 million.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I know which one I want. Ethan,
yeah,
appreciate you. You want to plug anything on the way out?
House of Strauss, subscribe today. I say things, open secrets in media, things that people talk about in private and group chats. I'll actually say it publicly, and I'll say it about the media itself and how it's covered. And hey, it's doing really well. So join up. And God damn it, I want to talk Brandon Ayuk. Next time we'll talk Niners. We'll do next that. Time. That's okay. I've probably given enough football takes. Nobody wants the football takes, Sam. They want my basketball takes if they want takes at all. So that's probably for the best. Thanks so much, man. This is great.
Appreciate you.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.